Hey, Sens fans, this is Stuntman Stu, and you're listening to the Sixth Sense Podcast.
Welcome to the Sixth Sense Podcast, listeners. I'm Tim. Graham, how are you doing this week?
I am fucking awesome. What a weekend.
It was fantastic. I couldn't have thought of a better long weekend to have just experienced, but it happened. And it started early on Friday with all that fantastic news for the good people of Ottawa.
Yep, Brian Murray's extended. Chris Campoli's injured. Alex Picard is dealt to Carolina.
Jonathan Cheech, he was riding the bus.
Fantastic.
And we got Matt Cullen out of it, too.
No, that's perfect. Perfect. I can't believe Carolina wanted Picard in that trade, according to Bruce Garriott.
How is that the deal breaker? I mean, you know, thank God they really fleeced us on that one, you know?
Yeah, why would you want that guy?
Murray should have just, I don't know, he's probably just a pet project for Carolina now. Maybe they're hoping he can become a number two or three guy.
Yeah, I don't think you have to worry about Picard coming back to haunt us.
No, I think that's a pretty safe bet. He's not going to be doing any damage to the Sens in the future.
But what are your immediate thoughts about Matt Cullen?
Well, I think at the end of the day, I don't know if he's going to be that top six forward everyone's been hoping for. Yeah, he's versatile. I guess that could be interesting in the playoffs, right? Give him a little bit more leeway when they're looking at lineups, especially if injuries start to become a factor, which they probably will. I think it's pretty naive to think at this point that going into the Olympics and the playoffs that no one's going to get hurt, plus the remaining part of the regular season, right?
What I like about it is when Nick Foligno comes back, obviously they're going to have an extra forward, right?
Yeah.
And at least now it'll give Corey Clouston an alternative to having Ryan Shannon on a top two line, because production-wise, he doesn't deserve to be there.
No, he's got Chuchu numbers.
Well, barely better. Chuchu might even have better numbers. I'm not looking at the stats right now, but
I don't think he'd look at the stats to know that he doesn't produce.
Yeah, but I appreciate Shannon's style, but obviously he's not producing at the top six level, so I guess maybe he might be the healthy scratch when Foligno comes back.
Do you think a guy like Ryan Shannon could be perceived as a valuable asset by another team, perhaps a seller this time of year?
Well, he's a contract that a team could take on, right? Because he's unrestricted and it won't really cost him anything in the future. So, sure. I think he would be. Why not?
I don't think his days in Ottawa are done just yet. But I think he would be a piece that would be considered movable on that roster. There's not a ton of guys who I think Brian Murray is going to make available.
No, not unless a team like specifically wants a guy like Winchester or something. I can't see Brian Murray trading a current guy on the roster without, you know, he's not going to tinker too much up front. But someone's probably going to have to go if they're looking for an extra defenseman. So
yeah, exactly. If you've got an extra forward, well, I guess two extra forwards, right?
Yeah.
With Donovan and whomever else.
Yep.
And you've got a hole on your D. Right, so I think that makes natural sense that a move would be made.
Now, why would you say we have a hole on our D? Is that just because Derek Smith was a -3 yesterday?
I didn't. Fortunately, thanks to my wonderful game channel thing on the computer there, the feed completely shit out on me. So I watched the beginning of the first and the end of the third. So at least I got that much, but freaking terrible game.
Well, you're in for a bit of luck because apparently Brian Lee and Derek Smith have been sent down to Binghamton today.
Yeah, that's just for the 2-week Olympic break, though, I bet, right?
Well, I don't think they'll be back up anyways because Carlson's due to come back up.
Yeah.
I don't think his injury is that long term. So anyways, cross our fingers that he's back after the break. But
what do you think the odds are that Brian Murray actually does pull the trigger on another deal?
Pretty good considering January 28th, he said he wasn't going to do anything.
Yeah. Oh, I completely have to agree with you. I would be absolutely shocked at this point. The Senators didn't do something at the deadline. I'm sure everything's in place for it, right?
Yeah. Well, I think that little winning streak had him drinking a bit out of the Kool-Aid jug, right? You know, he thinks we're a contender. Like, I don't know.
Well, we certainly played like it, right?
Yeah, well, there's no reason not to think you are.
Ottawa beat a lot of good teams in that stretch, right?
No, that's true. That's very, very true.
There's absolutely no reason at this point to think that the Senators could potentially make it to an NHL final, right? To at least an Eastern Conference championship.
You know how they're going to get to the Eastern Conference final?
How?
Jonathan Chichu is going to come back up for the playoffs and be a fucking important cog in that lineup.
Graham, have you been taking your stupid ass pills again?
No. I've just been reading a lot of opinions saying he's going to be fucking a key figure of this team moving forward.
Unbelievable. Internet talent evaluators who think Jonathan Chichu is a good hockey player.
Bleeding hearts.
He was. The guy tries real hard, but he also stinks, right? You know, I could get out there and try my best on the ice too. I'm not going to be able to skate with those guys either. Jonathan Chichu is just completely out of place on the roster. We're better off having him in the minors, and we have Matt Cullen now.
Oh, exactly.
How many points does Chichu have? Like 14 or something?
He has 2 in bingo right now. Call him back up. Get him on the bus back up.
Great. Yeah, he's really earned it. Paid his dues now. I'm sold. Yeah.
And he has the next 2 weeks off in Binghamton to enjoy his holiday like the rest of the NHLers.
A 4-year slide, and he turns it around in one game going coast to coast in bingo. Fuck.
You read that, eh?
Oh, shit. Yeah, I heard stories that the bingo D isn't exactly as spectacular, but I guess ours isn't the worst in the AHL considering Chichu went end-to-end on someone. What kind of fucking team were they playing?
And you know he's not blazing by guys with his speed, so.
Oh, jeez, yeah. All those missed moves, he finally put them all together. In one fantastic play that culminates his career. He should have skated off the ice and just never looked back after that. Call it a career.
At least he goes out on a high note, though.
Yeah, collect one more paycheck, right?
I just don't get all the empathy for him. Okay, granted, nice guy, works hard.
Great. Ottawa's had a ton of those guys in the past, too, right?
Name a player on Ottawa who doesn't look like they're working hard. Like, that's what a bottom six forward does.
Well, Kovalev, I guess, sometimes. But, I mean, I'm not going to nitpick over that. Kovalev's a hell of a lot more productive than Chichu. He's allowed to kind of throw one in early every once in a while.
But I mean, as a bottom six forward, like, name a guy who doesn't work hard.
Oh, of course.
On Ottawa, like,
they're all hard workers.
He doesn't deserve to be in the lineup.
Yep, absolutely.
And I was going over some of the sabermetric stats over at behindthenet.ca.
Yep.
And he was Ottawa's worst forward in terms of value.
I think it would be a different discussion if the makeup of the team was slightly different, where we didn't really have so many kind of role character guys on the team. You know, a lot of guys who other teams in the NHL would consider to be, you know, really solid third or fourth liners. But with Jonathan Chichu's price tag, maybe if he was getting league minimum or something, he'd be an okay guy to play, you know, maybe 40 games a year and that's it when you're in a pinch. But he's just done with an Ottawa and we got to move on.
Well, if someone thought he could help for the playoff stretch, they would have picked him up on waivers.
Yeah, apparently Ottawa's not alone in their thinking that maybe he's done.
No, exactly.
Maybe fans should realize that too.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't write him off yet just because, you know, he could sign a cheaper contract in the future. Like, he's going to get bought out this summer. There's no way. There's no way he's coming back next year.
No. No, absolutely not. And I don't get it. The guy's been here for, what, not even a whole season?
Yeah.
And everyone fucking loves the guy. Like, he's Daniel Alfredson. Like, he's just been a staple. Like, one day we're going to look up and see the 41 hanging from the rafters at Scotiabank Place.
But fans tend to gravitate towards, like, those blue-collar lunch pail guys. I don't know. Like, guys like Van Allen and Donovan and Randy Cunningworth and guys like that.
But it doesn't justify wearing the blindfold and, you know, because you like the guy, that's great, or you like the style of hockey plays, that's fine too, but you also have to realize that he wasn't being a productive player. It's simple, right?
You know what else I don't get, though? Are the people who say, by buying him out or burying his salary in the minors, you're sending the message to other players around the league that it sends a negative message and players will not want to come here.
Yeah, that's complete bullshit.
Yeah, well, they brought in Matt Cullen, right? They're trying to improve their current roster. I don't understand that opinion whatsoever, but some people are saying it.
It's an upgrade. No one complains when, you know, a big price tag guy ends up in AAA in baseball, right?
No, exactly.
There's lots of millionaires in AAA. No,
and if players in the league can't get that, they're not the fucking guys you want on your team in the first place.
Of course, Ottawa should be a destination for other players and for free agents who say, you know, I want to come play in Ottawa because Ottawa knows how to win, or Ottawa has a winning tradition, well, whatever, right?
There's two ways to draw players, right? One's to win, the other is fucking money.
Yep.
So,
and Ottawa's got both in the salary cap world, right?
No, exactly. And by burying Chichu's money in the minors, there's going to be money to lure another guy here. So,
hey,
it's a win-win.
Something that a lot of people missed in all this mess here,
yeah,
is how Brian Murray had the balls to fucking bury Jonathan Chichu in the minors. Brian Burke has been the most outspoken individual in all of professional hockey about being willing to bury people in the minors. Why hasn't he done that yet? Why is Jeff Finger and all these guys still skating for the Leafs?
Because a team like Anaheim will take some salary off their hands.
Jesus. Well, I know he didn't have to do that, but...
No, I'm surprised too, because like a guy like Jeff Finger is probably, you know, a guy that you look at and say, well, there's a cap casualty right there.
And Burke still hasn't done it, even with mediocre guys who don't have a lot of value. Just freaking bury them in the AHL. He hasn't done it.
Well, to be fair, why would he have to create cap room right now? He has absolutely no assets to trade to bring in a salary, so...
No, but he is still looking to deal, right? We've got to assume Brian Burke will be quite active going towards the deadline.
Well, what he might do is just acquire a couple of like high-profile, highly paid guys who are, you know, not performing well, and then bury them in the minors, and then...
Or who are free agents but are on long-term IR.
Yeah, exactly. Create some cap room for another team, and then take a draft pick in return.
Yeah, he's been creative with it, but I just wanted to point out that Brian Murray did it first.
There you go. It's a cock measure.
He stuck
contest.
To his guns. And that's go. The other thing. Like, how can you, you know, surely this wasn't a decision that came to Brian Murray overnight or any of the player personnel, the coaching staff, and probably Eugene Melnyk as well, right?
Oh, it goes absolutely right to Melnyk. I'm sure Murray went to him and said, this is what we have to do to make our team better. And Melnyk said, you know what? You're right. And I will green light that. Good for you. Done. And you know what?
It's a no-brainer.
No, we've never had an owner like that before, right? Because we went through the bankruptcy era with Bryden. And it's nice to have an owner who has a deep pockets to be able to afford him to make a move like that. I think it's refreshing. And it's a good sign to the fans. It's a nice leap of faith, especially concerning the attendance woes that the team's had this year. It's a nice, you know, the fans should be out there supporting this team.
Oh, it's a great PR move. Absolutely great, yeah. Right? That they're willing to win that much, that they're going to be start bearing his, like, taking loss on his own investment. And, you know, going ahead to improve his team, right? And it's also refreshing to see Melnyk, you know, he's probably paying attention. He watches the games, I'm sure. He must have a, you know, a pretty good pulse on what's happening in Ottawa day in, day out. And if he's going to greenlight Murray to make another move, then so be it, right?
Yeah. So who, off the top of your head, is there a defenseman that you want to see come in? Because I guess that's the next step for this roster right now, right?
Jeez, you know... Not that I'm extremely familiar with any of the, you know, the trade bait guys, and I don't even know who's available, right? Like, you and I read all the same TSN articles and all the, you know, Gary Ochs' Sunday rumor column, of course, like everyone else.
The circle jerk of rumors, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, you come across these things. It's inevitable. I think that Dan Hamhuis is someone who would obviously pique your interest, right, given his age and his skill set.
I think there are a ton of guys who pique the interest. It's just a matter of what's the price tag.
Yeah.
You know,
are you going to be able to get these guys? And then that brings up the point too, like, who's going to become expendable if you have to trade an active roster player who's under contract, right?
Yeah, well, we've gotten into this before. Like, you and I have agreed upon guys like Chris Kelly or Ryan Shannon or Chris Campoli.
Because they have a cheaper, more valuable replacement, right? And especially a guy like Zach Smith coming in.
Well,
and
that.
And from all accounts, killing it in the AHL right now.
Well, that, and going back to our point that guy like Chris Campoli is more expendable. he's not a key contributor to this team's wins, right?
No, absolutely not.
So, like, you're just trimming the fat there anyway, so.
And I think it really makes you wonder, too, about Brian Lee. Mm-hmm. The call-up, they got him in right before the Olympic break. One person might say, of course they're going to call up Brian Lee. Who else would you call up?
Exactly.
In bingo.
I don't think it was a show-me, if that's what you're insinuating.
I was just going to say, there could be speculation. It is also quite interesting, right?
Well, it literally is a show-me, yeah. But I don't think it was ever designed to be, oh, well, we're going to scratch a player and then bring up Brian Lee for a game, you know?
I guess it depends how you look at the glass, right?
Well, there were injuries, right?
No, but it's an interesting time of year for that to happen, of course, even if it is just purely coincidence.
Oh, you know? It's fantastic. Hopefully someone trades for him.
Yeah, because, you know, I didn't get to watch the whole Islanders game, unfortunately. And
right.
I did watch the whole Detroit game, but obviously in the low def, I could barely make out the fucking numbers on the players' backs. But from what I could see of that
you
blurry...
You felt like you were watching the A-Channel from back from, like, the early 90s.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez. Fuck. Worst broadcast ever. I still can't get over how terrible it was. But I think number 55 on the blue line didn't look absolutely horrible on the ice. Like, he didn't really embarrass himself in Detroit. So that's good for something.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah, of course. If someone has to go, it's going to be him.
More likely than not.
He's intriguing. I think other organizations like the idea of the intriguing prospect like that. People might think that they're getting a really good return on it, even though they're rolling the dice.
Well, you can sell it to fans, right? He's still young.
Yeah, of course.
Well, that's what Jim Rutherford did with Alex Pickard, and we just read that quote and we snickered.
Yeah, of course. Like, that's he lied to them. He lied to his fan base.
Exactly.
He's not going to help you. He wasn't helping Ottawa. Chris Campoli was skating ahead of him. Unbelievable.
Oh, I know. But, Tim, one guy who's not really going anywhere right now is Anton Volchenkov, apparently.
I want to know what that offer was and why what's-his-face Grossman there had to come down and check it out.
Are you concerned? Because obviously, well, we've talked about this before, but Jake Grossman's the same representative that Ilya Kovalchuk had. And
yeah.
Obviously the circumstances are different. Ottawa is a more stable owner. The team's winning. They're actually, I think they have like a 99.4% chance to make the playoffs now. So what do you think? Jake Grossman has a reputation for wanting his players to go to the market. What do you think? Are you worried?
Yeah, I'm a little worried, but I also think that Anton's desires will come ahead of the agent's desires of Grossman's interests, right? Mm-hmm. I think if they get a fair offer and Volchenkov and Grossman are able to look at it and say, well, yes, this is a competitive offer. Yes, this gives you terms, but you are going to be taking these concessions to stay in Ottawa. Well, yeah, sure, sign me up then. That's great. So hopefully that's how it happens, but I mean... Grossman does kind of scare me, but not as much as a Boris kind of guy, though.
No, not yet.
No, not even close.
He's the latest, though. I don't know if there is a bad, bad agent in the NHL world right now.
JP Barry's pretty bad.
Yeah, that's right.
He's just a bad agent. And McAlpine?
Yeah, fuck JP Barry. McAlpine was a former player, though.
Oh, no kidding, eh?
Yeah, I think he was a player for the Detroit Red Wings, I think.
Jeez, the way both those guys do interviews...
You can tell by the way he talks, though.
Yeah, you'd think that these guys were doing some kid show on TV. Oh, just the way they talk, like everything's just moving just a little bit too slowly upstairs. Yeah, we've had a lot of fun at their expense, though, over the past year, so maybe we should give them a pass here. So what do you think about Volchenkov? Do you think that he's going to jump early? I think he'll at least...
You think he's going to drop the shark?
Think he'll have a look?
He's got 2 weeks, right? Like, they didn't really set a parameter for when he's going to table the offer to Volchenkov face-to-face. So, I don't know. It'd be interesting to find out. Hopefully, they do it in the next little while, and we can find out closer to the trade deadline whether or not the prospects of trading Volchenkov are high.
That's one thing that you really have to consider, right? I mean, you can have the best interest in re-signing your player, and depending on what happens over the next 2 weeks here, then it might give you a pretty good indication of what... you know, of Volchenkov's interests and demands are going to be. And if they're unattainable, then you got to ship the guy out. If you know, you cannot walk into that deadline with a guy like Volchenkov in your back pocket who you know is not going to re-sign and not trade him.
At the same time, right? Like, Florida kind of went through that ordeal with Jay Bouwmeester last year, right?
Yeah, and look what good it did them.
Well, they shipped him. Like, they held on him. They missed the playoffs, obviously. Ottawa's not in the same position. But Randy Sexton did flip Jay Bouwmeester to Calgary for, who did they get? I can't even remember. Leopold?
Leopold
in a pick?
Yeah.
So, obviously, it is feasible to trade a guy after the, towards the July 1st unrestricted free agent market, but...
But that's the one thing you got to look at, too, is how effective Volchenkov would be in the playoffs, and obviously his style is perfectly suited for the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, that's the other part of the equation, right?
You win with
guys. If you flip him now as opposed to later on, you know, you're going to get more for him. And hopefully you can get maybe a younger player you can help out. Maybe he's not as highly touted as Volchenkov, but
it'd also be possible too, looking ahead to next season, if Ottawa were to flip Volchenkov before the trade deadline and in a separate deal bring in a NHL-ready defenseman, a young kid, then you could go ahead with that and just cross your fingers that Jared Cowan or someone else within the organization is able to step up.
Well, that's the other part of it, right? Because, I mean, they could resign Volchenkov and then flip a guy like Kuba, who hasn't really performed up to his pay level right now. So whether or not a guy like Cowan steps up, I don't know. Corey Kluson's going out to Kootenay this Olympic break, and he's going to take a look at Cowan. So it's funny because we're talking about all these trade scenarios, and we haven't even really addressed Matt Cullen as a player yet. So what are your expectations of Matt Cullen going forward?
Well, I consider Matt Cullen, when you look at his career stats, he's, you know, a point every two games kind of guy, right?
Yeah, he's a 40 to 50 point guy.
So you'd hope that he'd finish off. He's looking towards a career year this year too, which is also good, right? If you're going to get someone, you might as well get them, you know, on
well,
the heels.
Well, from a point standpoint, he's on a career pace, but I think his goals are a little bit below expectations, I guess. He's a 20-goal guy. He's a 20-20 guy.
Yeah,
so.
Potential at least, yeah. But, you know, he looks good. I don't know about long-term what kind of future this guy has in Ottawa. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah, he's making 2.8. I don't know if that's feasible going forward. Mind you, if Chichu's getting bought out, you know, there's a guy who they might target.
Yep, absolutely.
If they have a successful postseason run, who knows? But, I mean, Mike Comrie was kind of in the same position moving forward a while ago, too. So,
yeah, but there's no real forward in Ottawa's system who's really ready to jump into that spot, though, either. So it would make you believe that they would seek out that extra forward position.
I think Peter Regan could. I think he has anyways, but yeah.
Sorry, I already consider Peter Regan to be a fixture on
this
team, right? I mean,
yeah, but in terms of like a young guy who's top six,
yeah, exactly, someone who has
top six ceiling, yeah,
someone who's yet to put on the Sens jersey.
Well, no one who's imminent, anyways.
No.
A guy like Peterson's years away, so
yeah, and we don't even know how they're going to play in North America, right? We still have yet to see these guys in the AHL, so we can't even consider that yet.
Were you surprised a bit with how Cullen was utilized? Like, did you like his line?
Yeah, it's interesting putting him with Kovalev.
Yeah, you like that line, though?
Yeah, I think that they're always trying to figure out how to get Kovalev really going. That always seems to be the first person that they'll gravitate players towards, right?
Well, he's on fire lately. I think he's making it a bit easy on his teammates right now. Like, him and Peter Regan, I found, have really developed some chemistry on their line. So maybe putting Cullen there wasn't such a bad idea.
No, certainly not. And if that line could become a fixture, then that'd be okay.
It's interesting to, sorry to cut you off there, but it's interesting to note that Corey Kluson's still going to his Kelly Fisher-Alfredson line.
He wants that to work so badly, doesn't he?
To be honest, I don't really blame him for that, though. And I think by putting Shannon on the top line with Spets and Mahalik, that when Foligno comes back, that's a perfect fit there as well.
Yeah, but how about the fourth line, though? I mean, without Ruutu, or sorry, without Chris Kelly playing with Ruutu and Neil, that line becomes a little bit less effective, don't you think?
No, not really. I think Jesse Winters has actually filled Chris Kelly's role admirably.
I haven't been super impressed with Winchester over the past few games.
I don't mind him there. He hammers the body away.
Yeah, he does his best, but he's not really effective off the puck.
Okay.
You don't think so? I don't really notice the guy unless he's body checking someone. That's it.
Yeah, but if you're not noticing the guy, that doesn't mean he's fucking up either, you know?
Yeah, well, you could say that about Jonathan Chichu as well.
Well, you notice Chichu because he's about as graceful as a fucking dude who was just thrown off a cliff. Tim, I'm getting a little bit thirsty. How about we take a break?
Yep, sounds good.
All right, we'll be right back, listeners. Thanks. I know that you want the candy. 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 Give me candy I've never had. It's so sweet, mixed with high five. Sweet, sweet lips. Taste of you tonight. Turn me on. Strangers in the light. Welcome back to The Sixth Sense. So, Tim, Ottawa's lost twice in the last week and a half after they rolled off that 11-game winning streak.
Pretty impressive stuff.
More impressive, perhaps, is the fact that they bounced back after both of their losses and won again.
Yeah, no kidding. The Calgary game.
3-2 win.
Yep, big win there. And then, again, after Detroit this past weekend.
Yeah, having to travel on the road. That's tough.
Yeah, it wasn't a pretty win last night in Long Island, but they got it done. The Calgary game wasn't exactly a pretty game either, but... Again, they come out with the 2 points.
Yeah, win it late. Have you been surprised?
Not really. Not when you see, one thing we've talked about a lot, especially at the beginning of the year, is how the Senators' best players weren't playing like their best players, right? Like, we are being carried by, you know...
The unheralded guys like Mahalik and, yeah.
And Fisher having their great start to the year. But now you've got Jason Spezza, who may be one of the hottest players in the NHL right now.
Yeah, he's killing it.
Absolutely murdering the puck out there. And Alexei Kovalev has... come to life all of a sudden, and he's bringing everyone around him, you know, up to speed as well. Peter Regan's playing fantastic. So, you know, with the contribution from their top line, highest paid guys, I mean, and of course Alfie, right? You can never say enough about him, but he always contributes, but he's contributing constantly now. Hey, what do you got going on over there? What are you
doing? I just looked on my computer to check how many points Kovalev had right now.
It sounded like you were getting a Lava Life text message. No?
No, sorry, Tim.
I don't know what that sounds like either. That's what we need to do, a Sixth Sense Lava Life account.
Get our readers to submit portfolios online.
No kidding, so we can breed more Sens fans out there. Hey, there we go. There's a platform for us.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what kind of women read our blog.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. Well, I'd be equally interested to see some of the men who read it as well. Not the fact that the two men who write it who are in studio right now are much better, but still.
Okay, Tim. So I just pulled up the stats. Through 60 games, Kovalev has 47 points. He's 2 points back of Alfredson, who has 49 in 52 games. So even though Alfredson's played 8 less games, Kovalev's almost right there with him in scoring now, which is huge considering how bad he shat the bed production-wise for the first part of the season.
Oh, yeah, he was terrible. We were just waiting for this the whole year, right? Just waiting for him, for this advertised enigma to come to life.
I haven't seen that word thrown around too often lately.
No, he's, only in good times do you shed the tag of being an enigma and people just appreciate you for being this brilliant hockey player who just controls the ice out there. What a huge difference maker he's been. And, Peter Regan, I can't say enough about him and how well he plays with Alex Kovalev. I mean, the game against Detroit wasn't too pretty for anyone, any Senator player in particular, but seeing him go to the net so hard on the feed from Kovalev certainly was inspiring, and hopefully we'll see more of that down the stretch.
Well, he's kind of like been the guy that Ottawa's never really had since, I guess, probably like Martin Havlat or Hossa, like those days back when Alfredson was on the top line with like Todd White, and then Hossa would be on the second line with Bonk, and then Havlat would be on the third line with... I don't even know who the hell a center was at the time. I don't think it was Vanner, but...
No, God. I don't think it was either.
God help him. But, no, actually, it was Fisher.
Okay.
What the hell am I talking about? But, I don't think we've had a lot of scoring depth since like those days. So this is fantastic.
Oh, I'm loving it. I'm loving the fact that the fourth line, too, is contributing so much in these big wins. Like, every time you see Ottawa really, come out with a big win, one of Rutu or Chris Neal or Chris Kelly, wherever he's playing... often ends up on the score sheet.
Yeah, I think Jarkko Ruutu set a new career high for goals the other night, I think with 10.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
I think it does, and it's also good enough to get him on the Finnish national team as well. So another guy who's playing quite well right now and potentially well over his head is Brian Elliott. I mean, what do you make of this guy? I mean, to me it seems like the guy is playing well enough to win us hockey games, but he's still letting in those soft goals, and sometimes you see him and you just wonder what the hell he's doing on the ice. He drops down so early. He doesn't really seem to me like, you know, our number one guy or a guy who could be a number one. He seems like a competent NHL goalie in some capacity, but I certainly don't feel comfortable with him going forward. I don't know. What's your take on him?
I was at a party on Saturday night, and we were talking about the same issue. And one of my friends used the analogy of Brian Elliott is like the girl that you never, you know, you have some fun times with, and, you know, she has some redeeming qualities, but she's, there's something about that girl that you just really can't commit to, or like, you don't want to take her home to your parents and show her off. Like, you know?
Yeah. Not mom proof.
No, not mom proof. Like, someone will find something, you know, like your mother will find something wrong with her, you know?
Yeah. Or you're just into like freaky goths or something. And, you're just ashamed to even take her out in public. Webcam only dating.
She's got one of those skank tattoos on the bottom of her back or something like that. Yeah.
Graham, are you unaware that's called a tramp stamp?
Oh, sorry, tramp stamp. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah, nice. Some sort of tribal or like maybe a butterfly around some kind of like iris or something, maybe. So I completely agree. She's the girl that you want to see at home on a Friday night when none of your buddies are there, but you don't want to take her to the big dance on the weekend.
Exactly.
That's about it.
Well, you're just concerned that maybe you don't have a future together.
Yeah, and you want to have 100% confidence and faith in your date. Right?
But you don't.
But you don't. And some guys are willing to do that anyways, but those are the guys who don't make the playoffs. Or who drop out in the first round, right? Tom Barrasso comes to mind very quickly after that. So I guess I heard recently that LeClaire was going to get the green light after the Olympic break. What do you know about this?
Well, Corey Kluson was in the paper saying that...
he's always in the paper.
Well, he was talking about the goaltending situation in the paper yesterday.
Okay.
And what he said was that there was a lot of speculation that LeClaire was going to get the start in Long Island because the day before, Brian Elliott had the start in Detroit and didn't fare well. They lost 4-1. And a lot of people just assumed that LeClaire would get the second, the back-to-back game, second start. And what Kluson said was... Well, LeClaire hasn't played in a number of weeks. It's kind of unfair just to throw him in before giving him like another 2-week break. So what we're going to do is just give him a fresh start once the 2-week Olympic break is over. And then he can start fresh, no pressure, nothing to worry about, nothing to maybe build upon negatively, like if he had a bad start last night.
No pressure. The team's in the tops in the Northeast right now, and we got to stay there. Or climb, right? Like, we got to beat Jersey.
No, I know, but you don't want to hang anything around his neck before, like, you know, like, if something bad happens 2 weeks before, you know, he has a 2-week layoff to fucking dwell on it. That's essentially, I think, Kluson's point.
Yeah, they don't want him to get shelled and then spend the next 2 weeks crying about it and then come back completely destroyed.
Get injured and fuck off for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and at that point, he becomes the girl. He goes from being the girl who you don't want to take to the dance to the girl who's just complete damaged goods who no one will touch, right?
The psychologically traumatized girl.
The girl with all the baggage, right? And not enough Lamborghinis to pile it in. I actually noticed that he was talking in the paper when the Sun guys were asking the NHLers about what they were going to do with their time off, those of which who weren't going to the Olympics. And believe it or not, Pascal LeClaire's not going, and he was going to Tremblant with his girlfriend. And he said he could only take her for one night because she had to work. And I was trying to figure out what kind of girl dating an NHL player still has to work on weekends.
That's a good question.
Maybe it's one we can't answer on air. Maybe that's what it is. Yeah. So LeClaire's going to get thrown in.
At some point, yeah.
Yeah. And he's going to be the number one guy then. There's going to just completely...
I think they're going to take baby steps with him. I think that at this point they have to.
Yeah,
because,
well...
Because, like, obviously they've shown that, like, look, how many starts in a row has LA had? 14?
Yeah.
I think. And he's
something like that.
And he's carried the ball. Mind you, like, the past, what, 5-6 games haven't been the prettiest. But he's made some big saves during that stretch as well. But I think they'll give LeClaire every opportunity to reclaim the job. He's certainly being paid like it.
What happens if he gets shelled in his first game back?
Obviously, you go back to Elliott. But, I mean, they're still going to give him every opportunity to reclaim the job. Like, they'll go back to him at some point. And if he plays well, I'm sure they'll give him another start. And, you know, just baby steps.
Yeah,
that's exactly how they're going
to
do it.
You have to assume that management wants Pascal LeClaire to be the number one guy. And they need him to be the number one guy for this team to go anywhere, right? Like, they know his talents.
But that's what we said in the last time we recorded, was that the only problem that we had, essentially, with the winning streak was that LeClaire wasn't the guy in nets.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Because, I mean, that's not a contract you want on the books next year if he's performing like Chichu, right?
Exactly, or being paid that much to be a backup goalie.
No, exactly, because that's $4 million that could be better spent on another player up front or on the blue line.
Yeah, the Sens, I guess their whole goaltending situation is becoming akin to, say, like the Bears quarterback position. Right?
Yeah, except...
just cursed. Someone's got to write a book about
except
it.
Except LeClaire isn't an asshole like Jay Cutler.
Yeah, maybe we can get Shaughnessy to write a book about the curse of the Sens net.
Well, wasn't it, was it Scanlan who was writing the curse of,
oh, that's right. Fuck, King Clancy?
King Clancy's curse.
Yeah, that's what it was.
That's so Shaughnessy. I mean, we never talked to him about that when he was on the
No,
on
we should have asked
we
him.
We should have.
Wonder where that's going to get published.
I'm sure he would have appreciated that, too.
Oh, yeah.
Are you trying to go Shaughnessy on a Scanlan?
Or is this going to be more of the Stephen Harper School of Hockey books that just gets discussed a lot but never actually written?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Thank you, Stephen Harper, for Family Day. We really appreciate it.
One thing that we really haven't touched upon, Tim, thus far has been Brian Murray's extension. You want to hit on that?
Why not?
All right.
I mean, why not give him the extension, right? He's earned it.
How long would you like to see Murray extend for?
As long as he wants to stick around. I don't think at this point we have any reason to kick him to the curb or to expect that he won't be around in a year from now.
Well, considering that he's the team president right now, I wouldn't be surprised if he eventually turned the helm over to his brother Tim.
Yeah.
And he stayed on in like an advisory capacity.
Yeah, I think that certainly seems like the natural progression of things, right?
Maybe he'll get tired of the day-to-day operations of the team.
Yeah, no kidding. As long as he doesn't say that in public. Well, I'm pleased to announce. Well, unless, I'm just going to announce that
mind,
I'm.
Mind you, if Tim Murray's first deal is Dominic Moore for a second round pick, I might be a little bit pissed off.
Yeah, no kidding. That would be unfortunate.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. Can you imagine being a Habs fan right now?
I can't, but I don't feel sorry for them.
No, neither do I. But I mean, I couldn't even fathom what they're going through right now. That's insane.
And they got those little freaky things on their first line, too.
That's a guy that they could have signed in, what, like September, October?
Yeah, a few months
ago.
For
nothing. For pennies.
I mean, I'm pretty sure a first rounder would have got it done for Matt Cullen.
They're throwing money at him like he's fucking Jonathan Chichu in the minors. Unbelievable.
Well, I think that I really think that Murray's got to stick around for a while. I think we definitely need him for another one or two more drafts so we can see really what he's done to this team and wait for him to restock the farm. So I guess in a few years he's just going to reevaluate his role and his commitment to the team. And see if it wouldn't be better suited in the hands of Tim Murray or in an entirely new general manager.
I like what he's done in Mockler's absence. Like, how many years was it since the Cup final? That was 2007, so it's been like 2.5 years. And, you know, like, he's gradually improved the team. Obviously, there was the dark days for the last, year and a half?
Yep.
But the farm system looks like it's okay. It's coming around.
Well, this is the first time we've been excited about prospects in a while.
Yeah.
I mean, albeit we weren't really getting the highest draft picks before in the early 2000s, right? But
we flipped some good ones too for nothing.
Yeah,
that's the other part of the problem. But
anyways, that stuff aside,
yeah, it's just amazing.
And no one had this team pegged to make the playoffs really this year, right? Like across the board, people had this Sens team rated out of playoffs
anywhere between 6 to 12,
and now we're tops in the division against in what seemingly was a very tough division this year.
Well, it's nice to see Buffalo's falling apart faster than Jonathan Chichu.
Yeah, no kidding. And Boston can hold it together, which makes our life a lot easier, right? Like, this team was supposed to be, you know, a Stanley Cup contender.
Oh, and now they're contemplating trading Tim Thomas. Like, yeah. Fuck, can things get any better for Sens fans?
Now they're eating shit. I mean, hopefully we broke the back of Tim Thomas.
Yeah, like, Tuukka Rask doesn't scare me as an netminder.
No. No one on that Boston team really scares me.
I don't think he'll be running off, like, 10 consecutive wins against us.
No, certainly not. But it's nice to have seen the divisional drop off a little bit. I mean, the only team that you're really looking at these days as a team that's actually improved themselves, and I hate to say it, but that's the Leafs, right?
Do you think this is the worst division in hockey?
It might just be now. The Southeast, of course, and the East was always considered a laughing stock, but it's gotten stronger.
Well, Tim, it's the end of the weekend. So I'm pretty much ready to go.
Yep, me too.
Once again, thanks listeners for checking in. We'll be back later this week with another podcast.
And let's cross our fingers for our Ottawa Senators Olympians that they all come back healthy.
Yeah, no kidding, after that whole Hasek experiment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go on. Anyways, enough about that.
Yep. Anyways, thanks for listening. Thanks for reading the website. We'll talk to you guys soon.
junkies in this neighborhood. We all need a fix, I guess I need one too. But I'm trying madly to calm these nerves with something new. I got this heavy debt, I got nothing left but this daunting weight slung round my neck. You got the callous mouth, all your endless doubts. We spent these 15 weeks trying to work it out. Do you think we're getting to something new? Oh God, not another fight. I'm always trying to get the details right. I remember when you told me you felt safe, and you promised you'd lay flowers on my grave. Just like